We've qualified for the World Cup. Go and compete.
Okay, yeah, it is number 25. Number 25, lads. Fair play.
Carol Jenkinson's number.
Was it?
Total silence. Like, just tumbleweeds.
I just have, like, confusion marks over my head.
The own goal, the classic own goal, right? That's his career.
It's not even that you didn't know his number, which you don't even know who Carol Jenkinson is. Like, who?
Does he play for Barry Rowe?
Was he in Open All Hours, no?
Oh, I thought he was the famous poet.
Nice one.
What? Which poet is that?
Karl Marx.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
The Bad Defending Manifesto.
I'm still thinking about that. Like, that's like the like historical equivalent of like not knowing what Germany is or something in geography.
No, it's not.
It is. It is. Or like not knowing if you were in maths class, not knowing what a division symbol means.
No, that's like not knowing what the color red is or not knowing what a carrot is. Not knowing who Karl Marx is like not knowing
Pythagoras, maybe.
Not knowing where your local antique shop is, you know? Like, you probably should, but it's fine if you don't. It doesn't really matter.
Should you know where your local antique shop is?
Well, if it's local, you should have an idea.
I've never in my life felt like I needed to go and buy an antique.
And I've never, ever needed to know who Karl Marx was.
Fine.
Victory.
Hello and welcome to the 25th edition of the Put Some Pressure podcast. My name is Kieran and I'm joined by Adrian and Connor. We start this podcast on a serious note. Over the previous months, we've been highly critical of Man United, especially on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And we've taken every opportunity to ridicule them. I'm going to pass you over to Adrian, who has a statement to make.
Well, I've been asked to apologize for some of the statements I've made on this podcast in the last number of months by numerous people.
Yeah.
So I just want to start by saying I apologize to absolutely fucking nobody. Yeah!
Perfect.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Thanks. Because everything we said was absolutely spot on at the time. And things have changed. I don't, like, we'll get into it. I don't know how the fuck we've come to this, United being top of the league and winning every game somehow. But they were a shambles only, what, like 8, 12 weeks ago, maybe? So,
yeah.
I think we were spot on.
Well,
things have changed, but we were spot on at the time.
Well, firstly, Adrian, I'd like to thank you for your brave words. You know, it took a lot to say that, but you're dead right. Let the lads, obviously, and the United fans celebrate being top of the league. I mean, that's no easy feat. You got to give them that. They are top of the league right now. But I don't think any of the criticisms that we've had have disappeared. I think they're all still there, right?
Yeah. Ole doesn't have a clue what he's doing. Like, we got about 2 minutes in.
Beautiful.
They're top of the league and it's like not stopping us. I know. Ole's having a good run. Good run of deflected goals and penalties and hocus pocus wins.
The list goes on.
I mean, everything is like going for them at the minute, isn't it? Like,
oh, yeah.
No injuries, penalties galore, every decision going for them. You know, players, like, their form just continues to go up and up and up. It's a dream for them. Now, like, I would say that it is still a run of form that they're on, that the players are, you know, it's not that they're suddenly an amazing team when 2 or 3 months ago they were being battered. It's not that they're suddenly brilliant. It is that they're hitting a run of form. But, I mean, the worry is that Leicester won a league with a run of form. Yeah. So we're just hoping that that doesn't happen. It could. United could win the league. I just, in my heart of hearts, don't believe it will. And I don't believe United fans.
They've come around on a Paul Pogba that.
That was quick, wasn't that. It?
Yeah.
Fickle fans.
Die easy, you might say.
Pricks, you might say.
Jesus.
Well, look,
scum.
I mean, I've woken up every fucking morning to the Premier League table. You know, I mean, get a grip. It's just a matter of time. I keep looking at it and thinking, Christ, United might win. And then I realize that it's only halfway through the season. They still have all the Europa League games to play and now FA Cup games to play. And there's all this shit going to happen. They are one or two injuries away from collapsing.
I don't even think it will take injuries. They've had a very good run of fixtures too. Let's not forget that Liverpool will probably, well, we'll say Leicester too. In like what's been many fixtures, I can't count them. I can't be bothered. It's been Liverpool away, which we'll get to. The other team then I think was Leicester that would be in form. They played Leeds, Wolves who can't score for love nor money, Villa, who were probably half a squad when they played him. Oh, a dodgy penalty. Pogba tripping himself. Burnley. And then Fulham.
Have they beaten any big team in the league this year?
Not from what I can remember. Like Everton was probably...
Yeah, they beat Everton. Yeah. They lost to Spurs. They lost to Arsenal. They drew with City. They drew with Liverpool. They drew with Chelsea.
Lost to Palace. But that's what I mean, is that, like, and you can't argue that they're not getting the results against some of those teams, because they drew with Chelsea, who apparently Chelsea's an easy 3-pointer nowadays. Clearly isn't, or she would have beaten them. But yeah, very, very good fixtures. And anytime they have come up against someone that's a bit tricky, it's playing not to lose, not playing to win. Mm-hmm. Is that what a title winning team does?
Well, yeah, I think if you would say Ole has instilled any kind of identity into this team, any identifiable philosophy, it would be cowardice.
Interesting.
But what is it that's going right for United now? How are they top of the league?
Well... Question players playing well, I would
puzzled
say.
Mankind since the dawn of time.
I think
they're in the lab right now trying to figure this out.
I think
COVID vaccine's been scrapped.
Yeah. Pfizer, they're there with the blackboard. It's like Ole plus Bruno equals champion.
They're just making Luke Shaw regens in a tube somewhere. That man is not Luke Shaw.
Yeah. They got like a prototype with Fabio and Raphael years before. They ran amok. They were released into the wild.
I just think they're getting the rubber of the green at the minute and it won't keep going.
Oh, sorry. I'm just thinking about that now. Fabio and Raphael, like an invasive species, like fucking the frogs in The Simpsons in Australia. Dozens of little Raphaels and Fabios running around the place.
But even you look at De Bruyne getting injured, that, like, what a bit of luck for them. And Leicester, who are probably direct competition for United at the minute, losing Vardy.
You know, oh yeah,
that's But I do think they have a couple of fixtures coming up. I think they have do they have Arsenal soon? Mm-hmm. Arsenal, Everton, Southampton. I think those are three games that they could become unstuck fairly quickly and be overtaken. Definitely by Man City, maybe by Leicester, maybe by Liverpool. You never know.
This is it. It's a long season. I think that they're finding the net well. I think that's one thing you have to give some bit of credit to United for, is that they can find the net. And I mean, this will probably segue into the next team that we'll speak about. But it seems at any time that United need a chance or need a goal to draw even or a last minute winner,
penalty,
they're finding it. They're getting the penalty. Yeah, they're tripping themselves in the box and they're getting the penalty, or they're scrambling goals in. So I guess that's the name of the game, right? You score more goals, you win games. But I still think they've got the defensive, they're still frail at the back, you know?
Their defense is shocking, really.
Yeah.
Alex Tellez is the best player in the league and they keep benching him.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to get fucking Luke Shaw on the draft as well, by the way. You can't stop me.
Yeah, I can't stop you now.
Yeah.
Because I'm above you, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn.
Well, if we all had your luck.
Oh, here we go.
We said it before. It's, you know, it's a very lucky season in fantasy football.
Like, fantasy football is 95% mind games, 4% skill, 1% luck.
Yes, but it's a very big 1%. That 1% is 10 times the size of other 1%.
Do we have to talk a bit about the Ollie Lampard Arteta argument?
Yeah, I think it needs to be revisited because it's a little bit different than the last time we spoke, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah,
it is. Yeah,
yeah. So Arteta's still doing well. No,
look, he's here for the foreseeable future and we've got to learn to live with it.
He's like the coronavirus.
The new normal at Arsenal.
Sounds like your mother introducing your stepdad Frank Lampard.
What?
He's here to stay.
Oh, he's God. I was just like, what? Fuck. Look, Ole is doing great in the league. Not so hot in the Europa League, but, you know, he's winning in the FA Cup. Arteta is knocked out of the FA Cup. A very limp defence of the trophy. Doing pretty bad in the league. In fact, very bad in the league. But within a few weeks might be ahead of Lampard.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's the target. Surpass Lampard. Outlast Lampard. Yeah. That was always the question. It was who was going to get fired first, right? Not who was the best. Forget who's the best. Yeah, forget that. That doesn't matter at all. Who's getting fired first?
That's definitely what we said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back and edit those sound files.
We fucking stuck with Lampard, forgetting the fact that Abramovich is his boss and would fire him for fucking anything.
Yeah.
So we just backed the wrong horse from that perspective. But
you guys.
I mean, is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer an elite manager? My fucking balls, is he? Is Lampard? Absolutely not. Is Arteta? Nope. So,
you know,
it's a totally redundant argument that we'll bury there and never bring up again, I think.
The jury is out on Arteta.
Mm.
They've been out for, a year and a half now. Well, someone will want to go and check on him.
The best thing he's done is get rid of Ozil, which in itself is you know.
I guess.
He's made Saka kind of good.
He's made got rid of a lot of other deadwood too. Arsenal have been very active this window.
Yeah, you know, it's a good thing and a bad thing because Ozil gone, Socrates gone, Kolasinac gone. There'll probably be a few others. Guendouzi's out on loan. He'll probably be gone soon. Although I don't really consider him dead wood. I think he has a future, but maybe not at Arsenal. Who else is gone? I hope Nketiah goes soon. Anyway, yeah, that's grand and all, but they're getting no money for it. They're cancelling the contracts of top first-team players for the team. Like, it's fucking disgraceful. Whoever's in charge of contracts and shit here. And this goes back. This has been going on years. Who else was there? Fucking Ramsey, Sanchez. No money for any of these people. How is this even happening? To get no money for Sanchez, Ramsey, Ozil, Socrates, Kolasinac, Mustafi will be gone soon, probably on a free. Not even a penny for him.
But I think it's funny how the like opinions have changed too, because under Wenger, or Arsenal under Wenger, was very much like, oh, the purse strings are very tight. You know, there's muffs in the wallet. There's no money anywhere. But Arsenal's like policy now seems to be letting lots of players run out their contract, but also claim they have no money, but then also sign players for ridiculous fees, such as Pepe. I don't know, is it just deceit or, you know, lies from the board? I don't really understand what's going on.
I like to pretend Saka cost 70 million and Pepe came through the academy or something. That eases the burden somewhat.
It seems a bit more likely. He's a brilliant talent, in fairness. And the fact that he was playing left back last season or when he broke through, and now he's like an attacking player for Arsenal is pretty funny.
He can play anywhere. It's kind of amazing.
It's a bit like Maitland-Niles too. Like he can't seem to hold a place in the team just because he plays pretty good everywhere and great nowhere. Mm. It's like the Arsenal Academy is just, well, we'll just teach you to play football. Not a bad strategy.
And your man Smith Rowe has been pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty shit hot at the moment. But they're signing Odegaard from Real Madrid on loan. I'm not sure that's how that's going to impact.
Is that just until the summer?
It is, yeah. But sure, you never know what will happen then. If he doesn't want to go back to Madrid or whatever. Or if he even turns out to be any good.
I mean, it's never really a good omen, Arsenal getting players from Madrid. You know, we just spoke of one.
Well, Jesus. Ozil, it's a mixed bag. I would also say that Ozil has probably been the biggest disappointment of my life.
Oh my God.
But even being the biggest disappointment of my life, he was still good in his own way at times. Like there was good moments, you know, we had good moments. He was part of the team that ended 10 years without a trophy. And then won a few FA Cups. I mean, I know it's not much, but when you go 10 years without anything, at least they won something. At least he did something with the team. He should have been more. He should have been a lot more. I expected him to be a lot more. And I think he's really overrated by a lot of Arsenal fans. Deified by them. Like, they think he's God.
Yeah.
I think he's symptomatic of a lot of the problems at Arsenal for the past 20 years. These people who maybe... Actually, you know, I won't even talk about him anymore. I'm going to go on. I'm going to keep going.
Well, one thing that I wanted to say on Ozil is that problems follow him. Every club he's played at, Bremen, Madrid, there's another one Schalke. I'm forgetting. Schalke. He had tantrums. Or he had fallings out with people.
Yeah.
So you can pin this whole, you know, China thing or comments about, you know, treatment in China on it. I just think he's one of these disruptive people that, you know, organizations don't want to have, really.
Yeah, supposedly his agent was a mole as well, leaking information to the press.
There you go. There you go.
Supposedly. We mean
now he's over in Turkey with Fenerbahce.
Yeah, look, it's over. The dream is died. The child is grown.
How old is he?
So,
he's like 32, I'd say. Hang on, let me just Google Ozil.
I mean, it feels like he's been done for about 4 years now. Really,
32. So. He had a great season in like 2015, 2016.
Yeah.
When he first joined, he pretty much tore shit up straight away.
Yeah, but even then, I was expecting more than what we got because we should have done more with him. I think he was let down by the team as well because, okay, when he first signed, he was let down by the team because he was feeding Giroud balls, you know? Like he was playing with, I mean, Giroud's fine, but he's a bit of a donkey as well. And he scored some great goals and Ozil played some great football. But then they signed like Lacazette and Aubameyang after Ozil started declining. And I was like, now finally he has the players he deserves to be playing with and he can pass the ball to these people and they'll score a million goals. He's finally got what he needs and he just went straight down the tubes. He was invisible. Like he literally didn't even play for most of it. He was gone. And that was so disappointing to me that I thought this is all he needed. And it turns out not only is it not what he needed, but it turned him into shite. So
I don't think that was ability though. I actually think that was his attitude.
Oh yeah. Like his attitude's a problem as well. Like we may never know what was going on behind the scenes because under Wenger, Emery, Lundberg, and Arteta. Lundberg, I know, was only there for 5 games or whatever, but they all dropped Ozil from the team. Like, he was in for like a game and he'd be gone then for the rest of their management. And no information would come out about why. He wasn't injured. Under Wenger, it was like, oh, he's got a small back injury. He'll be back next Thursday. And it'd be back next Thursday. And this just kept going on. And he'd miss more and more games. And it'd be dropped for more games. And eventually he just was dropped from the squad altogether. Wasn't even registered. And no explanation. Like no info at all on what was going on. So his career ended with a whimper. There was no big, you know, ceremony about him going. He was just not registered for the squad for 6 months and then let go. Brilliant.
Yeah, very, very disappointing end of what could have been, you know, an unreal career in England.
I mean, it was still good, but not what it should have been.
The last of the three, you know, managers that we reviewed pre-season is Frank Lampard. Now, things haven't gone too well for him. I have my thoughts on why that hasn't. But is public opinion now or opinion of the podcast that of the three, Lamps is rock bottom now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he has to be.
Sure, he doesn't have anything to fall back on.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that we always backed him up with last season was at least Solskjaer and Arteta were spending money. And, you know, he got top four with a load of kids. But, I mean, now he's spent...
Well, Arteta didn't spend any money last season.
Okay. Apologies. I'll apologize to you for that, Flynn.
Sorry.
And but like now he's spent like over 200 million on players and none of them are doing anything. Chilwell arguably is doing something, but the rest of them are not even playing.
Even he's not very good. He had a good start, good 2 games, and he's been muck.
Yeah. So no, we can't really back him up anymore. Sorry.
Or can we?
Can you?
You can. Well, go ahead.
I mean, not really, no. But I've dug a big enough hole.
I mean, like I said earlier, they're all shit, probably.
They might all be shit.
They're
we have to entertain the possibility they're all shit.
Yeah. And some of them do better than others at times. I maintain Lampard had a better season last season than Solskjaer, despite what the table says. I think circumstances, he had a better season.
I could get on board with that.
But this season, he hasn't, and he can't. So we can't.
That's kind of what we were saying, though, right? You know?
Oh, yeah. We were right when we said it.
Yeah, forget this season. Things change, you know?
This season is nonsense anyway.
You can't predict anything.
Global pandemic, no fans, injuries galore. It hardly counts. I think
it doesn't.
Does that mean last season when Liverpool won it in a pandemic that...
No, because that was three quarters of the way through. They were on the cusp. They only had to do that extra little bit, and they did it. And then they gave up for the rest of the season and lost the last fucking 10 games or whatever. Well, two or three games. Yeah, so null and void the season ASAP.
I wouldn't mind.
No one would. No one would give a shit except for Mike.
You could null and void the next 10 seasons and Palace would still be mid bottom half.
15th.
15th. Straight and narrow. Roy still manager as well.
Yeah, Brighton and Burnley just below you, that little cushion.
Yeah, I know. All that cack below us to keep us afloat. We're like a buoyant turd in the sewers.
Very apt. Yeah, I mean, I don't see Lampard lasting another 2 weeks, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, the crossroads is now is that if you get rid of Lampard now, Europe is coming around very quickly. You need a manager in place to win the knockout stages.
Yeah.
Do you stick with him and then sack him after he gets knocked out in the Champions League?
No, I'd get someone in to survive that knockout, because you need like Timo Werner scoring goals.
You need Kai Havertz playing football.
Yeah. You can't just be banking on Abraham to get the odd goal and Giroud then to score four some random Sunday. You know, the fact that they have Timo Werner there and he scored two goals all season or something. Sure, it's crazy.
Yeah,
his underlying stats are good. He has been unlucky.
That's
unpopular opinion on podcasts.
I don't
maybe because I have him in my fantasy team.
But he has been unlucky. He played very well today. I know it was against Luton, but he looked himself, and I don't think it's Frank Lampard's fault or Frank Lampard's tactics as to why Timo Werner went a few games without scoring and now has no confidence. It could happen with any player.
I just believe that if they bring someone in, he'll start scoring. Because he'll play him differently. Because isn't he playing off the left or something?
Yeah.
Stick him up top. Just throw him up top. Put Zajic one side of him and fucking whoever, Mount the other side of him. Havertz behind them. Just the pepper the gold. Monster, whoever. I don't really give a
That's
shit.
That's it. Play Mendy as sweeper.
Yeah, maybe stop playing Mason Mount. Maybe do that for a game. Ooh. See what happens. You know?
Well, look, I think that we can all agree anyway that of the three managers that we compared pre-season, because of the, you know, we were victims of the circumstance of this season and, you know, things change. So as do our opinions. We were still right then, very much right now. Lampard is, you know, number one of those three, and that's the way it will remain.
He's number three of those three, you mean? Number one being the worst in this occasion.
We'll give him one thumb out of three.
Yes, but this is not an apology.
Absolutely not. No, okay. we don't apologize to anyone.
We're allowed to change opinions and never speak of it again.
Yes. Cool. Okay, moving on to our final segment. One of the big talking points that we haven't covered yet is Jurgen Klopp and his Liverpool, how they've gone completely off the boil, not scoring goals, not winning games, tumbling down the league, for their standards anyway, in recent times. What's going wrong? What's What's the issues here? Why are Liverpool not the Liverpool that we're used to?
Well, it's in the club. Clearly.
Outro music.
Good night, Springfield.
Covers it, I guess, Hanley.
Okay. I think you can still point to injuries.
Oh, yeah.
I do. Look, the first point I'll make is if you take the two starting centre-backs out of any team in the league, it's going to impact their results. If you took Lindelof and Maguire out of United for the whole season, they'd suffer. Okay? That's, you can't argue that. You can't really argue that with... it kind of happened to Man City last season when they lost Laporte and they struggled a lot. And Guardiola bought in two centre-backs. So now they've got about five as cover. Okay, so he learned from that mistake. Klopp, even at the start of the season, Van Dijk had played like 2.5 seasons straight with hardly any injuries. And I think we all just kind of assumed it would happen again. Gomez had had some injuries, but they were always impact injuries. And then there was Matip for cover, who, you know, doesn't play much, so you only need him to be fit a little bit. And Fabinho had proven against like Bayern Munich that he could play centre back. So it did feel like we had four solid choices in defence. Crazy Van Dijk injury happens. Crazy Gomez injury happens. You can't plan for that, but it happened. And then Matip hardly ever plays, and you're playing Henderson then centre back. And when I don't care what anyone says. I know we take the piss that Henderson is so good and, or, you know, not a De Bruyne or whatever. But when he doesn't play in midfield for Liverpool, their results suffer. And that's a fact. You can go back the last year and a half. And when he doesn't, the bad results are often when he doesn't play or when he at least doesn't play in midfield. You've got Trent Alexander-Arnold. I don't know, have you watched him at all? Honest to God, he looks like he's never kicked a ball in his life. The end of the Burnley game, whatever about all the crosses he put in that went nowhere, there was a point where there was about 2 minutes left. I think there was a corner and it came back out and he had it in the center of the pitch. Robertson was about 20 yards away from him on the left and he passed it straight out of play. And Robertson actually looked at him and I'd say he just said, "What the fuck was that?" It was incomprehensibly bad. He's being skinned and not tracking back. So we always said, you know, if he's not doing it defensively, at least he's putting in the good crosses and assisting goals. He's not even doing that now. So he needs to be dropped hard.
And my that first choice in the draft, by the way.
Yeah.
Him and Aguero. and Ziyech was my third choice.
Ouch.
Yeah, but, never mind.
But that was logical at the time because he was probably one of the best fullbacks in the world. And I don't know, is it the pressure? He had an injury at the start of the season. Maybe he's not totally fit from it, but he can't keep playing. I would be playing Milner right back, who's not a fucking right back. But at least he's going to be better than him. What else is there? Front three not scoring. I actually think that is to do with something to do with the defense. And that if you've got two midfielders playing in defense, it's gonna mean the fullbacks have to be a little bit more aware and the midfield have to be a bit more aware not to leave them exposed. Liverpool would always play with a high line with pacey center backs. They don't have that now. So they do have to adjust a little bit. And that means that the front three aren't going to get the same support as they would have. Also, teams are figuring out that if they just play with a low block that they can just suffocate them basically and give them no space on the ball. Firmino is getting older and he had about two really good seasons, not even numbers wise good, but two really good seasons at Liverpool. And I don't see him getting back to that form. I think Jota was brought in as a direct replacement for him and to cover the rest of the four positions. Now he's out And I think it's a year too late to bring in that cover. I think he's brought in Thiago and Jota to cover Wijnaldum, who's probably leaving, and Firmino, who I think he suspects will be past it by the end of the season. But it's a season too late. He should have done that when they won the Champions League and could recruit really good players in. Because now you're looking at Van Dijk, who probably won't get back to his best, if we're honest about it. By the time he's back to his best, he'll be 30, and he'll be past his best. Henderson is 30, so even if he has another couple of years in him, he'll need replacing at some point. And Salah and Mane, they're 28. I mean, Salah could be on the way out the way he's going, because he's not exactly the guy who scored 40 goals that season. He's still scoring goals, but he's not.
Interesting to hear a Liverpool fan say that.
He's probably still my favorite player. But if you're real about it, if they want to get any value for him, they'd have to sell him in the next year and a half.
That could turn out to be a blessing for Liverpool. I was only thinking this earlier. Do you remember at the time selling Coutinho was like catastrophic, or Suarez going was catastrophic? He thought Liverpool could never recover. And it turned into a rebuild where you actually ended up buying two or three quality players with said fee. Mm-hmm. Good teams, and I try to think of like the American football model. They will trade good players to get in young prospects, or trade one good player to get like three or four from various teams. Just makes you wonder if you're talking like business wise, yeah, you could cash in on Salah now. Someone would definitely pay big money for him. And then do you do the same as what you did with Coutinho then and fill it with a half a squad or half a first 11 of great players?
That's it. And I just don't like, he was asked about, he did two interviews, one where he said, of course, every player would like to play for Real Madrid. And one where he said, well, I'd like to stay here as long as I could. You can't really turn around and say both fucking answers and keep everyone happy. You should just be saying, I don't know. If you really think you might leave, just say, I don't know. Don't be like, yeah, I'd love to play for Real Madrid. Fuck off then and play for Real Madrid. Do you know? And that just pissed me off. And since that interview and since Wijnaldum isn't signing a contract, suddenly everything looks a little bit shit. And those are two like key players. I know Wijnaldum doesn't really do anything, but everything he does is very good and always right. He doesn't give the ball away. He always keeps it taken over. He always finds a player. He's always available for a pass. Suddenly, it's not really working. And suddenly, Salah isn't really scoring. He scored two today, mind. So maybe he's, you know, copping on a little bit. But I do think it's a lot of little things like that. It's the impact of the injuries at the back. And it's confidence and things. But, I mean, I don't think it's a team that is suddenly a bad group of players. And I don't think Klopp is suddenly shit. But I do think we're seeing that he has decided to beef out the squad a little too late, maybe. Mm. And
yeah, he's not suddenly shit. But is this the beginning of him being shit?
Like,
I do know what you mean.
It's I think with Klopp, right, is that... And I'll say this, that since probably, obviously Fergie, but like probably Sam Allardyce is the only one that really springs to mind, right? That other than Klopp, Pep and Sam Allardyce, they're like the only three managers that I can think of right now that brought like a unique style, their own method of playing football to the Premier League.
Style of play.
Yes. Klopp has a system. I mean, the gegenpress is not like his at all, but the way he fit out the team is his unique style. And there's people copying and replicating that. As soon as Liverpool found success with it, it was every team was using it or trying to use it. I think that Klopp put all his eggs in one basket with it, found the best, I'm going to say like 13 players to play it, did really well with them. But the second... Just to kind of highlight Hanley's point, that the second that one or two of that like core group started to drop off or didn't find form or got injured, more importantly, because that's Liverpool's key issue this season, there wasn't that depth there to replace that style. And then, you know, Henderson having to play out of position means that Trent Alexander-Arnold can't be that ruthless wingback that he was, which means that Firmino doesn't get as much ball in the box and means that Robertson doesn't get to pick up the ball at the other side of the pitch to swing across. And it just has this dot, dot, dot effect. But I do, yeah, I do think that's down to Klopp perhaps not having the longer term vision because he definitely wanted his hands on the Premier League as quickly as possible.
Yeah. And even last season, they changed a little bit where it wasn't this like playing, pressing, going 90 the whole time. It was nearly just breaking teams down, keeping the ball, dragging them around the place, switching the play, and waiting for someone to step out of position and exploiting that. And it was like picking them off, you know?
So you're saying they were
when it was a different good kind of play. But it's exactly what... No. What? You're just making shit up. I said they were adapting, you know? They went from this heavy metal football to patient build-up. But now they're still trying that, but they don't have the players at the back where they feel secure. So every time they have the ball around the box, it's like rushed and it's panicked and it's like, Jesus, fuck, we need to score. Because if they score first, we're fucked.
And the longer that's going on, the worse it's going to get. You know, the longer that you don't score, the more there's that panic to like shoot on sight, which is what's, you know, 25 shots at goal and none on target. That's where that's coming from.
But there has to be some accountability for it, because I could put all this back to it's those really unfortunate injuries to Gomez and Van Dijk that have fucked Liverpool for the season. I could say that, and I'd probably say I'm in some way right, in some, you know, ripple effect, that is correct. But why don't they have another centre-back? Why aren't they getting one right now?
Yeah,
and Socrates. Someone has to be... Huh? No. Socrates.
You could do a lot worse.
To be honest, anything that means Henderson isn't playing centre-back is better. And they play this Reece Williams lad. The guy is like 19. He was at fault for two of the goals today.
Yeah, yeah. That was so apparent.
Yeah, and he was at fault for fucking the goal against... I don't even know who they played recently. Oh, the Villa B team. The Villa under-21s. He was at fault for that goal as well. So obviously he's not good enough to do it. He played well in a couple of games, but he's not good enough. And if you're not going to play Nat Phillips, who probably also isn't good enough, you have to get someone in. You can't just keep playing Ginny fucking Wijnaldum or something at centre-back. Like, that doesn't... That isn't going to cut it.
And the thing with Klopp is that he has this personality where if you're the underdog or if you're challenging for something, he'll put a fire under you and he'll, you know, nothing is too good. You always have to be better. But Klopp isn't probably a manager that you turn to. I mean, countless teams would take him, but you wouldn't look to Klopp in times of struggle, you know, because he has a temper. I'm sure he's impatient. I'm sure he's letting his emotions show. So as much of a positive effect that has on the flip side, I think that him having, you know, having words with poor Sean Dyche, who just wants to, you know, drink gravy and have shit football players around him. it doesn't look right. It doesn't look well, you know.
No.
It all fell apart for him at Dortmund.
Very badly too. Am I right in saying that he left Dortmund when they were in the relegation zone very early in the season? Yeah, that's crazy.
I think it shows his true character.
I thought he actually stayed till the end of the season. I thought he kept them up, if you want to put it that way, and then left at the end of the season. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Is Klopp a Liverpool legend?
Yeah.
Is he top three?
Top three managers?
Yeah.
I don't know. Top four, maybe.
You put Dalglish ahead of him?
I don't know. That's the one I'm wondering.
It depends on Dalglish era you look at, though, isn't it? That's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think... I don't know. I don't even know the numbers off the top of my head. But I think the 30-year wait, maybe he goes ahead of Dalglish just because he brought the success back. But it kind of depends what happens in the next 2 years. Because if Liverpool just go back to being Liverpool of 2011 next year, then, you know, he's a flash in the pan, which yeah. no one thinks he is, because they did it for about three seasons. They didn't win anything one season. And then they didn't win the league the second season. They won the Champions League. And, you know.
Isn't that the other thing with Klopp too, is that, you know, of the seasons he's been here, like you said, those two seasons, like if City didn't exist, if City weren't that amazing side, he would have had three titles in a row easily. There was no contest. It was a two-team race for years. It just happened to be that, you know, one of the best current managers in the world.
Yeah. Had things turned out differently, he could be sat there with two Premier Leagues and two Champions Leagues very easily. Like, it's the difference between Karius blunder and fucking, what's his name, company smashed one into the top corner. But
yeah. Yeah. What do you think, Finn?
Yeah.
Do you think he's a Liverpool legend? Top three?
Yes, but I think his achievements will fade in time, because we, in the present, winning the league finally after all this time is huge, because it's like a monkey off the back. But 30 years from now, people won't have that feeling of, oh my God, I can't believe Liverpool haven't won the league in 30 years. Unless they haven't won the league in 30 years time. But you know, because if you look back at random years from the past where, like, your team maybe went 30 years between winning the league, I mean, who was the manager for these games? You know, you don't really remember them. You remember the managers who won a dominant era, or who really established a team as the top dog unquestionably for a long time. And I mean, right now he's doing great, but I think in the fullness of time, we'll come back in 30 years on podcast episode 2075 or something, and ask this question again: is Klopp a top three Liverpool manager of all time? I'm going to say no.
Really? I don't know. I think in my head, it's got to be Bill Shankly, Bob Paisley, and Klopp.
Yeah, I do see Flynn's point too. I think to kind of be amongst those names, he does have to go on a bit of a run now to make in, you know, Liverpool a dynasty. Do you know?
That's it. That's the word, a dynasty. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he's obviously a cult hero now, and he is. How can you not appreciate Klopp as a Liverpool fan when, you know, you've been in the dirt, let's say, for a while now, and he brought life back into a team that was, you know, clinging on to a lot of history and shut a lot of people up by winning the league last year. So there's no question about that. I also had a funny thought too, when it's going so bad for Liverpool, you know, if this was, you know, Steve Bruce had Newcastle haven't won in 10 games. Liverpool haven't won in 5. Steve Bruce is ready to be thrown it on the train tracks in front of a speeding train. And no one bats an eyelid at that. Everyone's just like, yeah, absolutely. The unstoppable force and the immovable object.
The unsackable object.
But, you know, there's not that much of a difference between them, but there's zero talk of, you know, Klopp's job being at risk, and rightly so. But I was just thinking, like surely not. Surely it doesn't matter this year how bad Liverpool are. Klopp is staying as manager. But then I remembered that, you know, Ranieri got sacked the year after Leicester were champions. You know, I don't think it's going that way. But does anyone feel that perhaps Klopp is coming unstuck?
I think it's a bit premature, and that Liverpool could still win the league.
Yeah.
Whereas Ranieri at the time, they were fighting relegation, and it was a case of, I think they could still stay up. I think they can retain the title.
Yeah. That's it. I mean, he's he'd want to do something catastrophic now in the next few months to warrant being booted. I don't think there's any danger of it. Some fans are calling for it, but some fans were calling for it the fucking last year, like, I think.
That's the price you pay for winning things. You get a bunch of these fucking clowns who are very loud.
Now you say it. Speaking of clowns, right? Daniel Fern, whoever you are, you commented on Liverpool's post after they got knocked out of the FA Cup. The first sentence, right? It makes me think, it's like, how long have you been a Liverpool fan? Because it clearly hasn't been in the last 30 years. Getting bored of drawing and losing. Feels like forever since we won and performed well. Clap out. Sorry. That is the worst take. Ooh, like, we give Dave shit for bad takes, right? But he must be coaching Daniel Fern. That's all I'll say.
That guy has not. Well, yeah. I mean, that guy clearly hasn't a clue. Oh. I don't know what to say.
Daniel Fern, whoever you are, just some randomer on the internet. Like, I could go into the Arsenal comments under every Arsenal post, and we'll call out each and every one of them, because every take there is more stupid than the last. I was saying, oh, that's the problem when you're successful. You get these idiot fans. Arsenal aren't successful, and we still have these fucking fans here.
Yeah. And people throw it up. By the time the team selection comes up, people are going, oh my God, I can't believe you're playing Thiago again. Fuck's sake. Like, what the fuck do you think he should do, you idiot? You know?
I think people, like, half the time with these Facebook posts, especially Facebook and Twitter too, is the same. It's like, it's just clout chasing, you know?
Yeah.
Let me just say something that I've pre-written, try and post it early and get like 300 likes.
Yeah.
I love when people get called out on that on like Reddit, where like a goal will be posted or the post-match thread for a game will be posted, and someone first comment will be like a few paragraphs, and people will call them out and say, you fucking pre-wrote this, you nonce.
I do enjoy how nonce is making a strong comeback. The word, not actual nonces, I hope, but
it's a good one.
Glad nonces are making a comeback.
Speaking of clowns, did you hear what Dean Smith got sent off for saying?
Ah, yes, very good.
No,
what?
I didn't actually.
Yeah, he already been yellow carded, I think, and then there was like another dodgy decision, and he told the ref that he must have gotten juggling balls for Christmas.
Oh my god!
What the fuck is that?
It reminded me of. Do you remember? Was it on Soccer Saturday where the Scottish fella, where I can't remember his name. Who's the guy that hosts it? Soccer Saturday. Jeff Stelling.
Sorry, that one. Yeah, I was thinking of Soccer AM. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, Jeff Stelling. Yeah, and he has a dig at the Scottish lad on the panel. And he's like, "Well, you need Narsing." Yeah,
that one. Specsavers. Yeah. I think you need to go to Specsavers. Yeah, I had to read that thing about the juggling balls three times before I got it. I was like, "What the fuck is he on about?"
Yeah.
Well, what a way to be sent off. Like, what a load of bullshit.
A red card for shit banter.
And then he went out and proudly told the media after, like, I'll tell you what I fucking told him.
Yeah.
Lifetime to himself.
Banned for shit crack.
They'll all laugh at this now. He didn't laugh. The referee didn't laugh. He must not have heard me. I'll tell the press.
Yeah. Remember, what's his name? Muller saying, Lewandowski, Robert Lewandowski. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when I saw that, I was like, in fairness, he's trying to make a joke in like a foreign language. And I was like, goal is still fucking goal in German. So I'm.
No, it's Tor. Tor. I think it is.
Is it?
I think it is.
What?
Tor. Yeah. I'm sure I see that sometimes in like Bundesliga posts and things.
But it's the same. It's the same, though, isn't it? With big sports, the terms of play across languages, right?
Yeah.
Like they'd still say a goal in Germany as like, even though it's an English word, they'll still say it, right?
Well, I thought so, but now I'm being told it's Tor.
Sure, well, English is right, the Germanic language. Yeah, exactly. We're always right in the podcast, and we definitely won't apologize if we're wrong.
Did you know that, Adrian?
Did I know what?
That English is a Germanic language.
I don't really know what that means.
Oh, my.
Like, it's German. It comes from Germany, English.
Like Karl Marx.
Do you know what I'm talking about at all? Like,
I mean, I know that all... I know that all European languages are somewhat similar in like 1, 2, 3 is very similar in all languages, you know, things like that. But I haven't heard the term Germanic.
Like romantic languages, you've heard of them, right?
What? Are you just taking the piss on me all of a sudden? Or...
No, on paper, you're the most educated of us.
Yeah, by far.
And yet.
Geez, yes. But I've not heard Germanic.
What do you think the word sounds like?
Well, I understand it's German, like, but are Germanic and romantic, not Romanic, and are they related? Because I thought they all just came from fucking Latin. I thought they were all just derivatives of Latin that were passed down.
Some of them are. I mean, there's a lot. It's a big hodgepodge. There's a lot of mixing going on. But you know, like how English people, like British people, aren't British or Britons, because the Britons, they got killed by the Anglo-Saxons, and then the Anglo-Saxons got taken over by the Normans. Okay. Have you heard of the Normans?
Yeah.
Have you heard of the Anglo-Saxons?
Yeah.
See, you know this kind of stuff.
But don't ask me where they came from or what their culture was or anything. I haven't a fucking clue.
Where do you think the Saxons came from?
The Saxons?
Yeah.
Where do I think the Saxons came from?
Yeah.
I wonder. No, okay, I'm getting no help here. Scandinavia?
Saxony.
Hmm.
Where's Saxony?
Have you heard of Saxony?
Is this a trick question?
No.
Saxony. No, Saxony. I haven't. Is this all history? Because I fucking hate history.
Saxony still exists.
Saxony still exists?
Well, yeah, it's in the present.
It's in Germany.
Oh, is it? No, I've never heard of Saxony.
I've never even heard of it.
No.
Okay. Have you heard of Bavaria?
Yeah.
Okay. Same thing.
Okay. It's just a region in Germany. All right.
Yeah.
How, like, every podcast now we have 10 minutes of like teaching Hanley. We should have a segment with like its own little tune.
I honest to God, we should do polls on this shit. Like, do you know what Saxony is? Because if I
have
saw
you
that,
heard
I'd be
of
like...
Saxony, yeah, we could do a poll. Have you heard of Saxony?
Yeah.
Or have you heard of Germanic languages or a Germanic language?
Maybe we just need to do a history bit at the end of each podcast.
I think we've spoken enough about United on this podcast.
Hey. Honda Romans.
I have complained enough. I think Liverpool will be fine. I think Klopp will still be here in a year's time.
I do too.
Good.
Yeah, I also think that this time next month, again, you can quote me on it. So by the end of Feb, United are not going to be top of the league.
Right.
I'd go with that.
Liverpool will.
Oh, there we go. That's a big call.
Oh, yeah, big call. Interesting. That is a big call.
So we didn't apologize to Dave for anything, did we?
No, of course not.
Absolutely not. No.
Okay, sorry, Dave. We didn't apologize.
Yeah. And we should also point out that Dave wanted Ollie out by November. So
I don't really remember that, but okay.
You weren't there for that one. That's why you don't remember it.
Yeah, okay. So Dave was saying Ollie out and that I know his opinion on Pogba.
Yeah, so go back to if you want to listen to it, it's on the Santi Cazorla podcast. But they've absolutely ripped United to shreds. Kind of said he didn't like them as a team. And yeah, things have changed now, apparently.
So all you guys pointing fingers at us, point them straight back at Dave.
Let's not at Dave, because Dave was giving his honest thoughts on the team there. It's
fair.
Mike, okay, who came out of nowhere, yes, going on about United being the greatest team of all time, where when they needed him most, he was off, gone for the hills.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Let's not forget, there were times in the group chat where he had to be reminded that United were even playing. So we've got longer memories on the podcast. We don't apologize. And we have memories like elephants. Yeah, that's our slogan.
What did you
say? Very catchy.
That's a fucking brutal slogan.
No, yeah, I want to find the slogan that we had. Shit.
Oh, yeah, it's not as good as the Latin one. Yeah, what is that in Latin? It'll sound better. Or in Germanic.
Germanic,
yeah. I feel like I've been done by this Germanic thing.
You can ask Sonia if she's ever heard of like Germanic and Saxony and stuff.
Sonia, have you ever heard of Germanic languages? Germanic. Like Bavarian?
Sure, yeah, well.
Sure, they said. Have you heard of Saxony? Confused face.
Really?
Yeah. No. Okay. No. It's not just me. Nos melius stercor. That's... Yes.
Or was it excremento or something?
Excremento was the other one, yeah. Nos melius excremento or nos melius stercor.
Fantastic.
Here we go.
Fantastic. And that was in Latin, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
When this fucking lockdown is over and we do this again at your place, Adrian, I'm just going to bring like a atlas or a fucking globe or something.
Less stress, more success, geography and history.
I'm going to bring Rorke. Rorke's going to be at your next podcast, yeah.
Look, I have Google Maps. Just tell me where to look and I'll fucking look. I'll figure it out.
All right.
All right, I think that brings us to the end of this podcast. I enjoyed it. It was a few weeks, but I really enjoyed this one, guys. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll pass you over to Past Me.
Yes. Good luck. Easy.
You've been listening to the Put 'Em Under Pressure podcast. For more of our content, make sure that you follow us on YouTube, Spotify, and Facebook. Outro music.